Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal prepped enchiladas, to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. The holidays are upon us. This microphone is going to drive me bonkers. Like, seriously, what the hell, Jake? All right, do we have an insane echo today? Because that was crazy yesterday. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you can hear me. I'm just going to launch this microphone and break, but that's okay. Welcome into the Adam Carriker Show, the show where you're going to hear Husker sports, college football, general sports as a whole, in the process. We will do our absolute best to give you unique insights. You're going to get unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I will have a whole lot of fun in the process. I'm going to shock you with this one. Loaded show today, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Nebraska had a big day yesterday. We're going to talk about that. Does Nebraska have an NIL problem? How are we losing players to Texas Tech and Baylor and my goodness, I'm glad we beat somebody, beat Kansas State out for Hunter. Otherwise, I was going to be like, man, can we beat anybody out for some of these guys? And we've gotten some good players. All right, right now we have the 31st ranked transfer portal class in the country with 6 current commits. I believe we have 23 guys who've gone into the portal, but players are treating this like high school recruiting. They are legit, like, they're taking visits everywhere. And they're taking their time about where they're deciding to go. So this is going to be a slower process. Also, I don't think Rule wants to bring in 23 guys. So we'll see how that goes. Oddly enough, I looked today and Texas Tech, of all freaking teams, has the number one ranked transfer portal class in America. I did not expect that. Ole Miss is 2. Yeah, shocker. Colorado's actually down to 14. If Deion's going to build that thing post-Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, who he walked through the freaking door with, if he's going to build that post those two players, he doesn't like to do it with high school kids. He better get a few more transfer portal guys. All right, let's see what else we got here. Jim Rose. All right. He's going to be joining me at 12:30, and the college frickin' football playoffs start tonight. Indiana, Notre Dame, freezing temperature, Southern Bells coming up north. We got a team who's almost dead last in the country in turnovers, almost dead last in the country in penalties in the playoff. It's SMU, by the way. How's that going to unfold? They once lost a game earlier this year against Duke with a -6 turnover ratio in that game. How are they going to do versus Penn State? And if Penn State's starting quarterback goes down, how do they look with Tyler Warren, their tight end to quarterback? I'm really not going to talk about that much. It's just a fascinating dynamic that could unfold before our very eyes. I'm excited for the college football playoff. All right, Nebraska's big day yesterday. Do the Huskers have some NIL issues? And this was kind of prompted when Eric Fields decided to go, the wide receiver from Florida International, decided to go to Atlanta. I saw a couple of people kind of like, hey, when do we start to get the players? And we've gotten some players. We've gotten some good players, to be clear. All right. You look at the receiver yesterday, Nyze Hunter, guy to be excited about. He led Cal in 3 different receiving categories. He was their best receiver. And we now have him on our team, along with Ja'Cory Barney, along with Jalen Lloyd. Dane Key's out there still making his decision. 4 years from now, we'll finally get that decision. No, he needs to make the right decision, take time, and do what's best for him. It's Nebraska, and tell us now, my friend. But I digress. Volleyball. Hey, what a heck of a season. Their 33rd regional final, okay, they competed in this year in the Elite Eight. 18th Final Four. A lot of good things. I mean, Penn State, Hat tip to them. They're the better team. They beat us twice. Not much you can say. I'm kind of torn who to root for. Their coach is battling cancer. I mean, she's over there. You never know. All right, it's hard to not root for a coach like that. Then you got Danny Busboom Kelly on the other side in the national championship on Sunday. Jake, I've got to ask you, who are you rooting for? Penn State or Louisville on Sunday?
It's tough. And you know me, I like to go for my Big Ten teams too. But there's a bit of a like historic rivalry, I suppose, between Penn State and Nebraska. They're one of the best volleyball schools of all time. So I suppose we can afford Louisville to get one.
So Louisville's never won a national title. Danny Busboom Kelly actually took them to their first ever Final Four a few years ago. Their first ever national championship match. This is their second in 3 years. She's three-time ACC Coach of the Year. She's done a lot of great things there. All right, Jake, if you know the answer to this, I will truly be impressed. What position did she play at Nebraska when she was playing for John Cook as a Husker?
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Oh, you were doing so well the other day. You went like four out of five the other day when I dropped that trivia challenge on you. You know what? Let's do this. I am going to ask our prize winner today that very question. So give him the number there, Jake.
402-464-5685.
All right. Be the fifth caller. It's literally all you have to do to win. Just be caller number five. But we will bring you live on air, and I'm going to ask you that question and see if you know the answer. They're probably just going to Google it, but that's okay. I'll throw you a swerve ball if you get that one right, and it's way too easy for you. But you win a $100 gift certificate to Automotive Solutions, 2040 Southwest 5th Street in Lincoln. So simply call that number. Be caller number five. You win the prize. For fun, we'll bring you on air, and I'll ask you that trivia question. If you make it look too easy, I'll make up another one on the spot, ladies and gentlemen. All right, loaded show. Talk a little Nebraska volleyball. College football playoff predictions at the end. Jim Rose at 12:30. Nebraska's big day yesterday. And do we have a little bit of concern for NIL? Some issues, some problems. I don't want to say problems. Like, we have a top 20 NIL. And I actually just saw this thing. Let me see here. Per one particular assessment. So this is one person's assessment. But it's from a credible account. Here's what the top 25 college athletic departments look like from a valuation perspective. And keep in mind, I've mentioned, Nebraska's football program made the sixth most amount of money a season ago in the entire country. Number one was A&M, number one was Ohio State, number two was A&M, number three was Gagme U, number four was Michigan, who won the national title. Number five escapes me, but Nebraska was number six. Pretty much all SEC Big Ten teams, I might add. But you look at the top 25 college athletics departments from an evaluation perspective. It's going to look eerily similar, and maybe Bama was number five. But Ohio State, Texas, A&M, Michigan, Bama, Notre Dame, Georgia, Nebraska's at number eight. Nebraska's at number eight. We recruit at a top 20 level. We're going to our first bowl game since 2016. We made the sixth most amount of money of any college football program in the country going to our first bowl game since 2016. We have easily one of the top 20 highest paid coaching staffs in the country. Haven't been to a bowl game since 2016. Number eight, per this evaluation. I'll do a little bit more recon over the weekend, but this is not shocking to me. We're the number eight. All right, college athletic department, from a valuation perspective, right up there with Tennessee and Georgia and Notre Dame and Oklahoma and Bama and Michigan. Yet we're 6-6. Six and six, we're going to a bowl game. I'm happy. That was the bare minimum since 2016. Like, we have a top 10 facility in the country, especially if you've been through the new one. I really don't care what we do with the stadium. I mean, make it a good game day atmosphere for the fans. But beyond that, let's save as much money as we can for the NIL. Like, we need the production on the field to match the resources, money, and everything else that we have. Recruiting, everything. Do we have a winner?
We do. Jock is on the line.
All right, Jock. Congratulations.
Chuck, by the way.
I appreciate it very
Chuck,
much.
Chuck, okay.
Oh, Chuck. Chuck. All right, Chuck. Thank you for calling in. You are today's winner. Now, what position did Danny Busboom Kelly play while she was in college?
Okay, so if my memory serves me correct, I believe she was considered a defensive specialist or libero back at the time.
I'll give it to you, libero. She was co-Big 12 libero of the year. And I don't know if you Googled it or you just sold it really well, But you made me believe that you knew that off the top of your head, and so I will not ask a follow-up trivia question. Either way, you sold it really well, and congratulations.
I swear, my son is sitting next to me. I'm driving. I did not look it up.
That is very impressive, actually. That's very, very impressive. All right, man, congratulations. And you can come pick up your prize here at 93.7 The Ticket Studios at 11th and O Street. And happy holidays, my friend. All right.
All right.
I didn't feel like he hung up, but I feel like he disappeared. Is that the same thing? All right, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, big day for Nebraska. Again, we have 6 transfer portal individuals who have committed so far this year, 2 specialists, punter, long snapper, 3 defensive linemen / edge rushers, and a wide receiver. I do believe there's going to be more, at least one, if not more, potentially wide receivers coming. Nazaiah Hunter, all right, as I mentioned, led Cal in 3 different receiving categories. He was their best receiver, 6'2", decent size. When people, you read up on him and you learn about him, and the people who covered Cal football used the word speedster multiple times, and you watch his film and he turns it on and he's got some speed. The guy's got some speed. There's some things he can do. He's got 3 years of eligibility. I like it. Gabe Moore. Now, this is a guy, 116 tackles his senior year of high school, nearly 40 TFLs. I mean, some of these stats are fairly staggering. Redshirted, all right, was out a year for injury, has 4 years of eligibility. I mean, I'll just be blunt. I had an individual who knows a lot about football yesterday look at me and go, oh, another unproven guy on defense. Here we go again. Hey, he's not wrong. Now, do you see what they currently are or what they can be? What matters most is what Matt Rhule and John Butler do with them and what they will be. So they're bringing in guys, Williams and Ware, Gabe Moore, and others with potential. Not a lot of these guys fit the Kurt Cignetti mode to this point. Now, we have offered a lot of guys, Eric Rivers, Florida International, I mentioned him earlier, didn't get some of these guys that had proven production at a smaller school. We seem to be getting the guys at Power 4 schools that are talented, highly recruited, but haven't done a lot yet. That's okay. I don't hate the Cignetti model. He's freaking coach of the year. That's all right. No, Dion was not robbed, even though I love Joel Klatt. The Colorado bias runneth wild when I heard him say that Dion got robbed. Also, Skip Bayless. Good Lord. Skip's had a phenomenal career. But terrible take, my friend, in my humble opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. Oh, by the way, somebody sent me something on the Heisman thing. This thing just won't die. People keep sending this to me. Every time I think it's done, somebody sends me something else. So this is, and I don't mind if you have a counter to my opinion. I actually like it. I like a balanced, passionate, respectful argument or discussion or debate. All right, this was sent to me. Heisman Trophy winner, Travis Hunter's Pro Football Focus grade, 90.3. Would you consider that good, Jake?
Yeah, it's pretty darn good.
The worst PFF grade by a Heisman winner ever. Now, Ashton Jeanty, highest Pro Football Focus grade, than higher than all the Heisman winners at 95.3. Thoughts?
Well, that's pretty good, too. I mean, is that's Travis's overall score, or has he got on both sides of the ball there? Because
They did not specify.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's if you combine the two, because they were trying to make a point that I was wrong, that Travis shouldn't have won. So the more vague you are, the more easier it is to create the narrative with what you like. So they didn't give me more details other than 90 point, whatever I said was the worst Heisman winner grade of all time, according to PFF. So I have a feeling if we dive more into certain things, maybe that changes. But that's not what they sent me. I just found it interesting. You still like Ashton Jeanty. Should have won the Heisman, in your opinion,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm more of a running back guy, though, than the Heisman traditionally is.
All right. I said I went from 52% Hunter to 48% Jeanty. Was that yesterday? To 60-40 Hunter Jeanty. It was 52-48. Then I went 60-40. All right. I am now 59 Hunter, 41 Jeanty. That's where I'm at. And I'm not bringing it up again. But people keep sending me stuff, and I actually, that was like the one that stood out to me. I was like, all right, that was kind of interesting. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, Nebraska did have a big day. We need help up front. We need some help on the D-line. We did talk about some of the guys we have, Lenhart, Popple, Williams. Now you add more to this list. He's healthy. It's a lot of young, talented, outside of Lenhart, relatively unproven guys, but guys to be excited about. And it's going to be this defensive staff which, by the way, officially Terry Braden was brought on board yesterday. Addison Williams was brought on board. Phil Snow was officially brought on board. It became official. We've known this for a while, but it became official yesterday. Can those guys, all these former defensive coordinators, by the way, all these former offensive coordinators, you know we have four former DCs on our defense and four former OCs on our offense? From Matt Rhule, you look like you didn't know that. Did you know that?
I knew there were many. I didn't know it was four on each side of the ball.
Matt Rhule, Dana Holgorsen, Glenn Thomas, Marcus Satterfield. Now, whether you think they're good at what they did is not what I'm talking about. They did it. They were OCs. If these people can gel on defense and get these young, talented guys to perform sooner rather than later, there's things to be excited about. Part of me is like, this kind of feels like a year one or two type thing. Like, I don't want to say we're taking a step back because Matt Rhule's made it clear we're going to take a jump this year. But to me, it's kind of like, all right, you got to get some of these guys who've got talent, but you got to get them to do things they haven't done yet, which is possible. Again, look around the country. Look at Indiana. Look at Arizona State. Look at all these teams. Kenny Dillingham was a finalist for Coach of the Year, 34 years old, youngest Power Four coach in the country. I always have a hard time saying four. It's not four power conferences, but I'm going with the flow for now. They were picked, if you didn't know, you probably do, picked to finish dead last, 16th in the Big 12, because numbers don't matter or have to match when you're naming a conference anymore. And they end up winning the championship. So to me, it can be done. I'm just curious to see how this all unfolds. Nebraska had a big day yesterday as far as getting a receiver in who can help us right now. Bringing in a talented D lineman who's got potential. What can you get out of him? When can you get it out of him? And finalizing, officially bringing on these defensive coaches. Terry Braden, Addison Williams, Phil Snow. It was a big day yesterday. I felt like the news constantly kept coming through. By the way, I'm going to drop a Character Chronicles here in a couple hours. I'm just going to tell you it's freaking loaded. Just like this show today is loaded. Any final thoughts on the day from yesterday there, Jake, on your end?
No, it's good to see them. Again, we talk about, and Coach Rhule's talked about it today, is kind of balancing getting potential and production out of the portal. It was good for me, at least, to see them get the wide receiver with a little bit of production. Got a lot of potential left because he's a freshman.
Yes.
But a little bit of production in the portal, too.
I agree. We need some production because this is year three, and people are going to look at it as year three. And Rhule, in my humble opinion, should not have said there's going to be a year three jump, but he said it twice. This was the first press conference today, by the way. I thought like December might be catching. He looked a little bit tired. I mean, he's human. He's allowed to look tired. Maybe he's just tired from staying up late to watch volleyball. I was definitely short some sleep, but Nebraska volleyball, always got to represent. As always, check out CharacterChronicles.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's where all your Husker sports hopes and dreams will come true. It's just science. Also, YouTube, type in Character Chronicles. 93.7, The Ticket. Check everything out at 93.7, The Ticket, theticketfm.com. Now, I kind of listed earlier. We have top 20 recruiting more often than not. We have top 10 facilities. We have top 20 NIL. We have all these various things. Would you, other than Hunter, Jake, look at anybody? I mean, the long snapper, oh, imperative, FCS All-American. Three-year starter, a punter, averaged 44 yards per kick from Washington coming in. Like, we needed these guys. But if we brought in anybody yet that, like, Williams and Warren, insanely talented. But if we brought in anybody yet that you're like, dude, I know that guy's a difference maker right now.
No, not necessarily.
So I feel like we're losing out. Like, we've lost some guys to Texas Tech. We've lost some guys to Baylor. Thank goodness we beat out K-State. Georgia Tech got Eric Fields from us. Now, they're in Atlanta. They got some money. Conference realignment, Georgia Tech may or may not be included in a few things. We'll see down the road. Somebody posed a question to me. Adam, do we have an NIL? We don't have an NIL issue. Matt Rhule said we're getting to the table in a lot of discussions we otherwise wouldn't have been normally included at those particular tables in the past because of 1890 doubling down. But we've got to be able to bring more of them home. That's how I feel. Those are my humble opinions. That's the button on that topic. Unless you've got anything else, Jake.
No.
All right. Again, shout out to Nebraska volleyball. A phenomenal season. The thing that stinks is you watch the first two sets and you're like, oh. I remember thinking after the first two sets, oh, Penn State will probably win the third because they're too good to get swept. Oh, they win the third, no problem. Then all of a sudden they win the fourth, and we've got match point twice, and we just weren't able to finish it. I think Kevin Suits was the one that put it out on X that basically he's like, this may be the best Nebraska volleyball team to ever not win a championship. Like, this is a really good team. They had a phenomenal season. They played at a high level all year. I want to give a shout out to those, to Coach Cook, to that staff, to that team, to those ladies. It's a rough way to end the season. If you maybe win the first set, then Penn State wins, then you win the third, and you go back and forth. Maybe it feels differently when the reverse sweep happens. That's always tougher. I hope that doesn't diminish their phenomenal season in anyone's eyes. I mean, there was a Nebraska fan, I saw it on, I think, Channel 8, who bought Final Four tickets over a year ago. That is such a compliment to the program. That's such a compliment to, hey, Final Four is like, it's what we always do. Don't take these things for granted, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm saying. Shout out to them. Rough way to end the season, but a phenomenal season nonetheless. And I hope, I try to, and I hope everyone is appreciating what we're watching right before our eyes. And it just shows how hard it is to win a national championship in any sport, regardless of how good you are. All right. Matt Rhule's press conference. Micah Mazzucca finished the season with a torn labrum. Isaiah Nayor has been practicing but will not play. Jake told me that before we came on air. I was aware of it, and I'm kind of like, unfortunately, that's not big news. I wish Isaiah Nayor nothing but the best in the future, but he wasn't a gigantic difference maker this year, even though he had the talent potential to be. Micah Mazzucca, I've been told he was the most NFL-ready O-lineman we have. Obviously, he's dealing with a shoulder, coming back from that. But it is what it is. You want to win this game. Like, literally, a winning season is on the line. We're 26 and 27 in bowl games. This would make us 500 in bowl games if we win this. But you're also building towards the future. Matt Rhule did say today in his press conference, he is playing to win the game. Well, there's a whole bunch of off-season momentum that's going to come off of this. And I do think that matters. I'm not talking about Kool-Aid. I'm just talking about momentum. Get the taste of Iowa out of our mouths. Get the taste of a few other games. And all of a sudden now, we got a winning season for the first time. And I don't even want to talk about how long, but we know. I just don't want to say it. Got a winning season. We went to a bowl game. And we got some momentum going into the offseason. We got an upgrade in the coaching staff on offense. The defense, if they can gel, man, I tell you what. Coaches being on the same page is a big deal. If they can be more on the same page this year, that can make a huge difference. There's a few other things from his press conference. Is there anything else that stuck out to you, Jake? Normally, I do a whole breakdown, but I don't know. I don't think we need to. It wasn't one of those headlining type press conferences, I didn't think.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, they just reiterated again that that Dean is not going to bring in an air raid, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. You know what's funny? We'll go to break on this, and we'll bring on Jim Rose afterwards. Okay. I am run the ball, play defense. Like, I'm telling you right now, Ohio State is a better team than Tennessee, but Tennessee has the number one rushing offense in the SEC. They have a number eight rush defense. They have a Michigan-esque type defensive line, only a little bit more athletic, maybe not as big. They might go into the big house and upset Ohio State. But I'll talk about that in our last segment. That all being said, because that's who I am. Run the ball, stop the run. That's how you win games. That's how I've always been. Hey, Adam, that's old-fashioned. Oh, you mean something that stood the test of time. Yes, that is correct. I was kind of disappointed when they said it wasn't going to be air raid. Dana's going to do his thing. He's going to. But I was kind of like, oh. I just kind of wanted to see it. Now, is it best? I don't know. I just kind of wanted to see it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. When we come back, I will be joined by the legendary Jim Rose. We'll be right back.